Now, in that list of catalog listing, some of the paintings, even the titles of the paintings are suggestive, the Pursuit of Daphne, the Rape of Proserpina. And this brings me to the woman in the novel. In every novel, the maid is really the same. In some ways, it's the same woman showing up again and again. Only in Athena, she has a very large role, and she's a kind of mysterious, waifish, very contemporary kind of woman in a black dress, almost perpetually bruised lips. And she and Moro, Freddy, embark on this strange and mysterious it's kind of a parody of a Victorian sex book relationship, where they go deeper and deeper into a kind of sadomasochistic relationship. And yet she is also in some way, in the text, she's tied up very much with his sense of himself, who he is. She's also apparently come out of the painting. When the paintings disappear, she disappears. It's a very strange relationship.
Yes, I mean, there are two things to be said about the woman character in Athena. One of them quite simple. At least it's simply said. I don't know the implications of it are simple, but it's something that I noticed when I'd finished the book, that she is never there, really, when there are other people about. If she's in a room with him and someone else appears, she disappears. She is suddenly gone. Now, as you read the book, you don't quite notice that she is simply vanishing into thin air. So one begins to wonder if she does exist at all. Second thing to be said about her is much more important in terms of the three books taken as a whole. And I do think of them as one book, really. Right. In the first book, he kills a woman. He takes a life. And in that book, the Book of Evidence, he provides evidence about everything. Practically everything that he encounters is described in minute detail, except one thing, which is the woman that he kills. Everything we ever find out about her is that she has blue eyes. And she is simply something that gets in his way, and he swats it out of his way.
Right.
He kills her. And as he says himself, he killed her because he could kill her, because of a failure of the imagination. He failed to imagine her into reality. He failed to create her for himself, which is what we all have to do with other people. We have to create a version of them. And, you know, if we fall in love, it's a version that's pretty close to what the other person thinks he or she is. But we do have to invent our own versions of people in order to find any kind of contact with them. And this is what he doesn't do in the Book of Evidence, and he's therefore able to kill this woman. In Ghosts, the second book, he is in a kind of hell, or as they used to be in Catholicism, in a kind of purgatory. I think purgatory is gone now, but he's there. He's an old-fashioned Catholic. And he's spending a time in an incoherent time, and this is one of the things that made Ghosts difficult for people to read, because they couldn't quite figure out what was going on. Because the fact is that nothing is going on. This is a man in free fall, and he's just, you know, turning on the spit of his own guilt and he's punishing himself. In Athena, he realizes that what he has to do is to recreate a life, to fill the space that he emptied by killing the woman in the first book. And he fills this space by imagining this woman to such a degree that she begins to exist, even if she doesn't exist in reality. By that extraordinary act of the imagination, by describing her, by looking at her, as he says, you know, he really looked at her. She'd never been looked at in this way before. That he brings her into a kind of reality. Now, of course, the only reality that she can have is the reality of art. She exists as an artistic object in the same way that the pictures exist as artistic objects. The pictures, all of them except one, turn out to be frauds, or at least fakes. There is a difference. And it's a question at the end of the book, and of course, you know, art never provides answers, only rephrases questions. It's a question at the end of the book as to whether she does exist or what kind of reality she exists in. Certainly for the reader, the reader will have an extraordinarily vivid sense of her physicality.
Oh, yes.
But no sense of her as a human being, because, of course, as we discover at the end of the book, she's been telling him a pack of lies about herself throughout the book, which he has willingly fallen for.
And even
but
suspected.
That's a part of the artistic process.
Right.
I mean, this all possibly sounds more complex than it is. I mean, it's really quite simple.
No, I understand that, but the simplicity is not exactly concealed, but there is a kind of surface complexity and beauty to this. One thing is, and I'm sure that perhaps people have said this to you, but there's a danger. You're so at ease with this kind of material that there's a danger of appearing to be only playing games with the emphasis on only. And yet, what you're doing is, as I say, this kind of critique of modernity, and you're creating a kind of sense of the individual, which is the great invention of modern times, who, when he looks at himself very closely, turns out to be nothing, to be evanescent, to be empty. And in, there's a sense, there's this line in the book when he's talking about a, no, it is not the anima lost in me that I am after, but the ineffable mystery of the other. And then parenthetically, I can hear your ribald snigger. And she, there is this sense of the of doubling and then finding emptiness there that that turns on a, it turns into a kind of melancholy which suffuses these books.
Yes, I mean, his effort from the start, the Book of Evidence through Ghosts to Athena, is to find some sense of authenticity, to find some authentic self,
which is
some
the
version of himself.
Which is the effort of the modern.
Yes, yes it is. And I think that, as I say, at the end of the three books, it is in question as to whether he has found anything of himself. Certainly he mellows as the books go on. He's not quite as vile a creature in Athena as he was in the Book of Evidence. But the curious thing about Athena and about the reception of Athena and the reviews that I've seen of it so far on this side of the Atlantic and on your side is that people take Aunt Corky, this aged aunt that he takes care of, they take her as a kind of merely Dickensian decoration on the book. But actually, the more I thought about the book after finishing it, the more I thought that, in fact, it's not about A, it's not about the woman that he has the affair with at all, but it's about Anne Corky. Because while he is busily trying to make A come alive, artistically, physically, sexually, he's helping Anne Corky to die. He's helping her to leave the world. And by some curious, paradoxical ethics, the effort of helping Aunt Corky to die is infinitely more important and more rewarding to him than his love affair with A. The old woman dies and she proves to be a bit of a fake as well. Yet she, it seems to me, has more reality and certainly more authenticity than A. And that reality and that authenticity reflects on the narrator and gives him a tiny possibility of redemption, I think, at the end. But it may be an artistic flaw in the book that she is not emphasized enough. Now, I'm hoping that she's lying there like a kind of landmine and that eventually, with time, if the book is given time, which, you know, we can never tell these days, but if it lives for any length of time, I hope that Aunt Corky will come to be seen as much more important than she's been seen to be so far.